renewed mind that rests in the love of God, his great and deep love for us. And it's not just head knowledge, because most of us have come to church at some point and you've heard, well, God loves you, and it can sort of just bounce off of you. You go, yeah, I know that, but somehow we still live like this. You know, we sort of live this small, closed down life and full of fears and all the things that the world lives like. But it's when we come to know that we know. There's a difference between knowing it up here, that when we know that we know, it starts to drop down into our heart. We know that we know. We talked about this last week, that I'm chosen by God. Right. I was chosen from the foundations of the earth, Scripture says, to be loved by God, to be welcomed into his family, open arms, to have a place with him. Jesus said, I'm going, you know, to prepare a place for you so that you could come and be with me always, that he wants us with him.
Right.
He doesn't like have to, all right, I'll take you. You know, like Pastor Steve said last week, you're the last kid chosen. They're picking teams and, you know, you're the last, all right, I'll take you. You're number 10. There's nobody left. It's like, no, the Lord chose you. He wanted you. And there's something special about that. That I know there's a scripture in Jeremiah that says that he's loved us with an everlasting love. And he's always drawing us to himself with his loving kindness. This is the heart of God, see? I mean, it depends on how you think. If you think about God and you think, oh, he's mad at me, he doesn't like me, I'm always offending him.
Look at my past.
We forget about the scripture that he says, no, I washed away your sin when I took it at the cross. I'm giving you new life, and now I'm calling you with loving kindness, like his arms are open wide.
Wow.
We need to just stop and think about that.
Live there.
Live there. Practice meditating on it, because so many times what we end up doing, what I found myself doing is just, you know, you love God, you want to know God, and so you try to do things. I mean, you're trying to do things to be pleasing to God, to honor him, and do, and you know, sometimes there's patience to see things come to life or come to pass in your life.
Yes.
And so often we get stuck, like, what do you want me to do? I don't know what else to do. And the Lord began to show me, like, you're striving so hard. You're not resting enough just in my love for you. Just, that's actually an act of faith.
Right. Right.
To sit down in the morning and just like think about these scriptures. Think about the scripture in Ephesians 3 that you might want to mark that down.
Yeah, definitely mark that down. You want to look that up.
Ephesians 3:17, this was a scripture that Paul said this to the church. He said that we should pray, really, that we would be rooted deep in the love of God and founded securely on the love of God, that we would know the height and depth and breadth of his love. And then he goes on to say, and experience it.
Yes.
Meaning not just, I understand it up here in my head, but something drops down in here that you go, wow. There's a freedom to that, is there not? It's like a kid running free in the wind, like, yeah. That's the freedom of feeling like I'm resting in the love of God. He loves me. He chose me. He wants me. He has a plan for me.
I think we should all
And we meditate on it.
I think we should all say it. I think we should all say it. God loves me.
God
I want to hear it.
Me.
He loves me.
That's right.
You got to own that. You got to own that right here. He loves me. You know, that can sound braggadocious, doesn't it, at times? Hey, God loves me. You know, you could just mess up one time, and, you know, you're doing your best. Let's face it. We're not out there to sin. We're out there doing our best, and then we're all going to make a mistake. And then you know what you should do to make this drop from your head to your heart is say, you know what, God loves me. You know, he loves me. You know, that's hard sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why? Because we think we need to do something
right.
To deserve it. There's nothing you could do to deserve God's love.
And, you know, here's what I have found.
You've been preaching really good. I like this.
It's our message, huh? But truly, yeah, I tried so hard for years to fight fears that I had. Just fear, you know, stuff travels with you from growing up. Depending on the childhood atmosphere that you grew up in, you can sometimes live in an atmosphere in your mind of fear or doubt or insecurity. And
anybody?
You know,
are we talking to real people here?
I would take scriptures and, you know, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to think on the Word of God. I'm going to think, I'm going to think on the Word of God. And now you confess the scripture over and over and over again. But you can actually make that into a work, like a works-based thing. And I'd say this again, that the Lord brought me back to resting in His love.
Yes.
And it's like, why don't you just sit down and meditate again on how much I love you? And it would seem as though, well, that's not powerful enough.
It's the most powerful thing.
But when you see yourself running like a kid running free, that's when those shackles come off.
Come on, dear.
The shackles of fear and the shackle of doubt and insecurity in my past and all the broken and hurt places. It's like God says, just keep coming to me. I love you. And when you wrap yourself around that love, the shackles begin to come off.
You know, this is mind renewal.
It takes mind renewal.
Yeah,
right.
It takes effort. Everybody say effort.
Effort.
You know, it takes commitment. Everybody say commitment.
Commitment.
Excuse me. It takes perseverance.
Yeah.
On our part. We got to do something. You know, because I think it's in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Don't hold me to it, but I think that's the scripture. It says, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, when we were born again, it was the greatest miracle that could ever happen. And all we had to do was just say, Jesus, I'm laying at your feet, and I see that you're forgiving me of my sin. I see that you're going to renew my life. I see that I need you. You're born again. The Holy Ghost comes in and recreates your spirit. Something miraculous happens on the inside. And that's what we want the world to see. We want them to see the glory we have inside of us, and we want it to manifest out. Amen? Ordinary people that love Jesus, that Jesus came for, all, but we want to show who He is, don't we? That's what we want to do. But when we're born again, this is the first thing on our outline. Look what it says here. Our spirits are saved when we are born again, but our minds need to be renewed. Your spirit's born again. Your spirit, you have a soul and you live in a body. Guess what? This body wears out and is going to go down. But your spirit and your soul are combined. They're attached, which creates your heart, and this is what's living forever. However, we as believers belong to a different kingdom. We have to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind. Look at what it says here. And Jesus is helping us out on this. The Holy Ghost you have inside of you, if you're born again, He is helping us out in every way. Look what it says here. Mark, Jesus has given us an idea on what we're going to be doing. And Jesus said to them, be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Who hear? What's Jesus saying here?
Here.
Here. It's not one-dimensional. Oh, I hear what you're saying. I hear words. I hear. No, it's like when somebody's giving you instruction on how to do something, you spend a little more effort, you zero in on that, you're more conscious of it, you're focused on what's being said, and then you say, I hear what you're saying. Anybody? Oh yeah. This kind of hearing causes you to slow down. This kind of hearing causes you to focus and listen, because it's something you want. Something you need. And so therefore you take the time to slow down. You know, our verses. If you're married, you know how this goes. You know, it's why everybody's smiling here. You're hearing. You're not listening. You're gearing up for what you're gonna say next because you're right and they're wrong, and you're saying, I'm just like, your mind is like, okay, if I put this together, then I'm gonna tell her, and then I'm gonna get it right, and then she's gonna. You're not listening to what she's saying. You know what this results in? A standoff. And we all know that's not good. Don't we? Don't we? It's not good, folks. You don't want to live that. On the other hand, it can create a greater understanding. It can bring unity to the marriage. It can resolve issues, listening with your heart. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You and I have to take the time. We have to slow down, take the time. We have to give him time. Everybody say, give him time.
Give him time.
So he can hear. Because his words are spirit and truth. And because your spirit is born again, it needs fed. Your spirit lives forever. So it can ascend or it can descend. It can be strengthened or it can be weakened. And Jesus is saying his words are food for your spirit. So we have to be prepared. Give, what did he say again? He says, the measure that you give to the truth, it says then the power of that truth will be given to you. So where do we find truth? Oh, there's a bridge in Norway, was it? There's a bridge in Norway that says, as you walk under it, it says, truth is flexible.
It's all lit up in
Christmas lights. Yeah. Truth is flexible. Folks, truth is not flexible.
Yeah. Should have a picture.
It's established and it will not be shaken. We sang a part of this song here. Even though the world breaks apart, we're not going to be shaken. You know why? Because we're standing on the invincible Word of God. What's this next scripture on our outline? It says, John chapter 17. See, this is Jesus' prayer. This is John chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer for you and for me. Got great stuff in there. I'm telling you what, I read it over and over and over and over. I read John 14 through 17 often. 14 through 17 very often. I'll just absorb that. Jesus is saying, sanctify them. You know what that means? That means set them apart. Set them apart. Set them apart. And he says, set them apart, sanctify them in the truth. And it says what? Your word is truth. We just can't go over it real fast. We've got to hear it and allow it to come in here. It'll strengthen your spirit. You'll have more energy. You'll be able to recognize a deception.
So
there's a delusion out here right now. And it's going to increase in strength. And if we know the truth will set us free.
So how do I hear the truth? I mean, besides for coming to church on Sunday, you're going to hear truth, you're going to see it up on the screen, you're going to have it written down on your outline. But I have to find more ways than that to hear the truth. And let's face it, life is hectic, is it not? I mean, you get up in the morning and, you know, if you get up in the morning and the first thing you grab, which I think where everybody's getting conditioned, grab your phone, people start scrolling, checking out Facebook, who put on what last night, or I'm checking emails, or I turn on the TV, or you just go on the internet, or I'm looking at text messages or whatever. You're getting dressed, you run out the door. Just like what Pastor Steve is saying, you got to consider, all right, have I done anything to like just strengthen myself spiritually? And if I'm not careful, I'm just going to be keep filling my mind up with the voices of the world. And they're out there, are they not?
Oh, boy.
I mean, everywhere you turn, whether it's a billboard or just anything, radio, people talking. But Jesus said, again, just thinking of that scripture, the measure of thought and study, because that's what that means in the Greek, the measure of thought that you give. Like, in other words, you're looking at it, you're thinking about it. To the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you and more. I like that, how Jesus said, you're not going to just get, like, if you give a little bit of your time, you just get a little bit back. He says, I'll multiply it back to you. Whatever you give me, God will multiply back that time and effort to you. So if I just give him a little teaspoon of effort, well, okay, I get a little something back. But think about if I give him a little bit more. Just a little
Come
bit
on.
More.
Right.
I mean, this is
right.
on our outline. To the measure I give to the renewing my mind is the measure and more that comes back to me. That's a good deal. And I know this is not easy for young parents, especially. When we just had a big refresher on it because just last weekend, on Sunday and Monday, we had our two grandkids here in Butler, staying at our house a couple nights overnight, and we had a great time.
Yes.
But it's that 6 o'clock in the morning wake-up hour that we're not sometimes used to. You know, it's like you can hear pitter-patter, pitter-patter down the hall, you know, door opening up, coming to the edge of the bed. Good morning, Grammy, Grandpa. It's like, is it already 6 o'clock? Like, in what time is it 6 o'clock? It's like, and then when we, a couple weeks ago, we went to visit our daughter and son-in-law and their two kids, they had like the same internal clock.
Right.
It was the same time.
What?
Yeah, I know. You know, you could hear the door opening up again and little Eladriel standing at the foot of the bed with this stick and Mylar balloon. She's standing there smiling like, hi, you know, and Asher's looking at, Grandpa, are you awake? And there was this office chair in the room.
Oh.
This big black office chair that twirled. And so, you know, we're just trying to like, what time is it? And you know, one of them, come on, Adria, sit on a chair. And Asher starts whipping her around on that chair and whipping her around on that chair. And she's giggling and laughing. Ah, it's your turn, Asher, your turn. And jumping off the chair and give me that balloon. And we're like thinking, what time is it? Like, our eyes are half open, and it's like, Grandpa, I want some yogurt. Come down to the kitchen.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we're, like, getting up out of bed, with our pants on, and just getting dressed, and Steve's like, where are the parents in this house, you know? But I'm thinking, after a week of being there, I just thought, wow, it brought back memories. I mean, we had two kids ourselves, but we did not have Facebook and phones and half the stuff that is so distracting. I mean, kids still do wake you up in the morning, no matter whether you have a phone or a TV. But it's hard. All I'm saying is I know it's hard for young parents to find to carve out any time where I even have a moment to think, like, who am I and what day is it?
Yeah.
But you have to. You know, I look back at this scripture and I think, but Jesus still said this, that his word transcends time. And so there's a grace. We can't use that as an excuse and go, well, my life's just too busy. You'd have to cut out that scripture then that he can't, you know, you live in 2018, I get it, you won't have any time. I can't say that to you. He still says, you know, the measure that you give me. And I think that's what you have to realize. So, I mean, moms, you could do it on, you have to do it on the run. Stick it in your kitchen. Download a Bible and listen to it on your phone while you're making dinner or while you're doing laundry or straightening up the house or you're driving in the car. Use those moments.
Yes.
Your kids will be listening to the Word of God. Or put on some good worship music. Something where you are inviting, you're confessing the Word. You're talking to Jesus. Your kids are going to pick up on it. You will be edified by it.
Yes.
And I think what we have to remember is God will multiply it back. when you feel like, man, I don't have any time, he sees your heart and your effort.
Yes.
And he will multiply back that to you in the knowledge of him.
And another thing Jesus said in that same scripture, he says, be careful what you hear.
Yeah.
Now with the internet and all this, we got a bunch of junk out there, don't we? Yeah. Oh my gosh. He says, be careful what you hear. And Americans, especially Americans, we're being programmed to be entertained. Aren't we?
Yeah.
Hey, I like entertainment too. Do you know, this is going to come up on, and this is pretty amazing. We look at these statistics. Average American spends 6% of its annual income on entertainment. 6%. And that doesn't include vacations. It doesn't include clothes. It doesn't even include clothes for your pet.
And you do have to say that now. A whole refrigerated section of food choices.
Yeah, refrigerated food for your dog or cat. I've seen a dog walking down my street with clothes on. Hey, please don't do that. Please don't do that. That dog must be disgraced. I mean, he must feel like that dog walking down the street must be saying, please don't look at me. I hope I'm invisible.
Uh-oh.
How pathetic.
You might get some.
But 6%, yeah.
No,
you know,
careful.
Including those things, that equals 15% of your income. 15% of your income. If you make 50 grand a year, guess what? That's $625 a month you spend on non-essentials. Oh, my dog needs a bow tie. Fruit cake. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Your dog has fur. It's fur. That's what they're supposed to have. You're not supposed to sweat, pet a sweater.
Better move on. Some people.
I'm getting on somebody, I guess. Just don't do that. Hey, like, I like entertainment like everybody else. I do. The only thing that should be on TV is sports. And hunting. But you know, here's the next statistic. It says the average Christian in the United States, in this nation, gives 2.4% of their income. If you make $50,000, that's $100 a month.
To the work of the kingdom.
To the work of the kingdom, an eternal kingdom. God's kingdom. We like screens. We like videos, you know. We're being trained by the television to have a lower attention span, a shorter attention span. 1970, an hour-long program, or 1960. How many remember the 60s? Not too many of us.
Even born.
Well, I do remember the, you know, later 60s and early 70s. I remember them. Maybe not all of them, but that's the hippie era, folks, for you millennials. But in 1960, an hour-long program on TV had 9 minutes of commercials. 9 minutes of commercials. You know what it is now for an hour-long TV show? 20 minutes of commercials. If it's a rerun, 1 hour show has 27 minutes of commercials. Training you. Television is training you. And me. It's on purpose. So we have to put our focus. Remember what Jesus said? The amount you give to it is what you're going to get back. You know, I like entertainment. I do. But if you look at what's on television, if you look what's on YouTube, if you look what's on your computer and what's available to you, it's giving you immorality, and it's pushing it in your throat. It's telling you what you are. It's telling you what you like. Viacom, the president of Viacom, owns MTV and all this stuff. He says, we own your kids. We own your kids, and we're going to tell them what's cool, and we're going to tell them what to wear, and we're going to tell them what's right. We got to be careful. We have a great responsibility. Moms, dads, you got a responsibility. Pastor Mamie, that's what we did at our house. Praise and worship music on. The word of God kept going through our house. Our son, at one time, when he was 7 years old, sitting at the dining room table, you know what he said to us? God, 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 that's all this family talks about. We looked at each other and thought, we're doing something right.
Well, you know, there is a group, we call it like a group think, you know, that Satan is the god of the world system. Scripture tells us that in the New Testament. And it's a thought system. What we have to realize is this is where he has his greatest influence, is how you think. Because if he can get you to think something long enough, you do begin to believe it. When it drops down in your heart, you believe it, and then you act upon it, and then there you go. It's like, well, got that one. Let's go on to the next one. And the culture in the world, in the media, have you noticed, is just more and more lawlessness. There's the morality factor is just basically becoming eliminated. And there is a spirit of lawlessness in the world. Scripture tells us that. It's linked to the spirit of Antichrist. And so these things we should be aware of and not just like go through life like, well, things are getting bad out there. I wonder what in the world's happening. Well, it's happening because Scripture says we are breaching, I believe, the end of the age. At some point, we are rapidly unfolding into this lawless society. And, I mean, take a look at just some of the stuff on the television, the new normal, the modern family. The gay lifestyles are pretty much put out there over and over and over again as though this is just the way it is. Two gay men have a little daughter, and then they're holding a sonogram. Oh, we're having another one's on the way. And I think, when 5 years ago, what would you have thought if you would have thought you're going to turn on the TV and this is going to be just common to watch? The new normal is what it's called. And researchers know, this is on your outline, that it takes a minority of just 5% to influence a whole crowd's direction. They're like, give me 5% of a strong voice and I can influence a crowd's direction. It's like sheep, you know, just one starts and the other follow. Or I think about a little girl slumber party where you have 10 girls together and one of them just all of a sudden gets excited and screams, and the other one just like, the other nine scream right after her running out the door like, what is the matter? You know, I don't know. She started it. We're just going. Something's wrong, right? There's this herd mentality to it.
Right,
and
right.
Listen, the LGBTQ community is less than 5% of the population. In fact, if you look it up, it's like 3.8% of the population. But because the voice is loud and because it has strong backing from Hollywood and the liberal left, it's pushing every day to restructure laws and redefine the basics of marriage, the basics even. I mean, there's argument now about just your gender. There's no binary male-female. Literal arguments about it, that science is wrong. And actually, you know, you sometimes, I think, where is this coming from? It is a delusion. It is a delusion, and because you see people believing it so strongly, and you want to go, who's crazy here? But in California, I was just reading about this past week. California is in considering legislation, I'm going to read this to you, that forbids a person to counsel somebody with a gender confusion problem. In other words, somebody feels like, I'm not sure, I'm, you know, in puberty, before puberty comes. And whether they feel like they're going to be, they're a man or a woman. It would become illegal. This is, and this bill is actually getting voted on. It would become illegal to offer professional help to resolve unwanted same-sex attraction. You would have...
Unwanted.
Unwanted. Like if I came in and I said, I don't like how I feel like I'm mixed up. The only way you could receive professional counsel is if you counseled the person towards the same-sex attraction. This is, I mean, I've read this and I thought, this can't be. Like, who's... It would become illegal, it says here, but if it will back a psychologist who helps a person embrace gender fluidity. And the thing about it is most children who identify as transgender no longer do so after puberty. And so it's not as though this is just a fixed thing. My child feels mixed up. Well, then let's just lead them down this path of not having to decide whether they're male or female or let their biological status, because the argument is that's not even where it should be. It should just all go by how I feel. And they said it would be considered medical fraud or malpractice to counsel the young child towards becoming, just feeling at home in their body the way God created them, and especially Christians would not be allowed. Listen to this. I'm going to just read you from the bill. It declares, quote, advertising, offering to engage in, or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual is illegal. It would be considered consumer fraud. Medical fraud. Banning books. The bill 2943 bans books, conferences, counseling, advocating Muslim, Jewish, and Christian views on gender and sexual orientation.
And you might think, well, that's California. It can be a law.
Well, let's face it, it's just like the same-sex marriage. It starts one place, and once the door is open, it might take a few years. But
you got to remember, moms and dads, first of all, your kids are a blank slate.
And here's the other thing. I just want to say this one.
Go
one
for it.
Too, about, look up 2 Thessalonians. Read 2 Thessalonians, because it does talk about the delusion that is coming.
Correct. It's here.
And it's here. It's been alive, if you will, since for thousands of years, really. But Scripture does tell us that at the end of the age, it will increase. And as a result of it, there will be, it says in 2 Thessalonians, an apostasy, a great falling away of people that many will just come to believe in the group think. The more you see it, the more the programs come out, the more you hear it, the more it's in media, the more it's in songs, the more people protest for it, the more it's legislated. Pretty soon you will have to decide, where do I stand on this? And the scarier thing about it, and I'm not afraid of it, but I think some people, it does make you feel like, well, where will this lead? You will have to take a stand at some point.
Right.
And now's the time to gird up the loins of your mind, as Scripture says. Now's the time to feed on the Word of God. Because do not underestimate the power of the enemy in what he wants to do to conform you into his mindset.
Read that Phillips translation.
I mean, this is on our outline. If Satan can get you to think like the world, then you will believe like the world, then you will act like the world.
Then you'll act like the world.
And this Romans 12:2 in the paraphrase says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you.
Yeah. Come on.
Remold your minds from within. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's really what's happening.
It's turning into a law.
It's turning into a law, which will enforce the squeezing. And I'm telling you, this is what you were saying this morning as you closed out worship. There is this urgency. It comes up in our hearts. It seems like it comes up strong, and then it eases off a little, and now it just feels like lately again, it's like you need to share with the people, tell them the seriousness of this. Don't wait and think, I have time. The time is upon us. You know, for such a time as this, you are in the earth. So God needs your voice. He needs your strength of spirit. And we also need to know how to stand against it.
Now, those people, there are plenty of people in that community that want to be delivered. Listen to me carefully. We don't hate those people.
No.
God does not hate them. But throughout Scripture, he hates that lifestyle because it's a perversion from what he created. There are plenty of people that will hear the voice of the Spirit as you speak into their lives. And they'll come drawing out. You understand? This is just like us. Sin is sin. Let's face it, folks. Sin is sin. Do you understand? I was bent on hell until God wooed me into his life. You were too. I was. You were. Listen. But the great delusion is here. It's knee deep, folks. And we need to become strong in the faith. We need to become strong in the Word. We need to be able to speak the Word of God out of our mouth.
And pay attention, your parents of young children, what they're teaching in kindergarten. Again, I go to California because they do seem to
This is crazy.
But what they're teaching.
It's called, they're going to do this. They're changing all the textbooks, everything. They're trying to rewrite history even. It's called the Fair, let me read it. It's called, where is it? The Fair Education Act. They're changing textbooks starting at kindergarten. They're going to use a little gingerbread man to help people understand that being transgender is okay. Being homosexual is okay. This is California. It's funny because it's interesting you can be an individual and all that, but if you're an individual standing up for Christianity, you're not allowed.
Well, and the parents have actually begun to protest, a group of them, because they said the education that they're showing and the pictures that they're showing is just too explicit. They're putting in the minds of kids something at kindergarten age that should be reserved for when you're 18.
Listen, kids aren't little adults. They're kids. They need to be trained properly. God has given us a scripture that says, train up a child. Whose responsibility?
And their argument, though, is that, well, it's out there in the world. Kids are hearing it. And this is the dilemma. Their argument is, well, shouldn't we inform them then? Since all this is already happening, why don't we just tell them all about it? And the parents, of course, are saying, my child, I'll tell them about it when I think they're ready to hear about it. But they're arguing that, no, you cannot stop, but this is just part of the public school system.
And it's a law.
And they said our books, the last time the books were rewritten were 14 years ago, they're out of date. Now we need to put in all the other terms about gender fluidity and explain these things to the kids so that everybody feels comfortable with whatever they choose to be. So anyways.
Let me read this. One liberal elementary school teacher said this. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. The goal is to reach the kids before they absorb their parents' values. By middle school, it's too late. Listen. You've got to recognize the signs of the times we live in. This is serious stuff. And the signs of the times are happening right before us. God has anointed us to be living in this time frame. Do you understand? He's given you the power to live through this. He's given you the power to walk straight in a crooked generation.
And we must teach our children to critically think.
Yeah, that's correct.
To teach them how to think, to talk to them. At a young age, you know, sometimes I think people don't want to mention the devil and Satan too early to their kids. Well, I don't want to scare them. That is sometimes I think what it is. But think about all the trash already that's out there that they're seeing in the world. And I think this is simply just all a part of God's story. It's a part of the Bible story.
Yes.
It started in the garden. We tell kids, you know, the story in the Garden of Eden. They need to know who their enemy is. They need to know it's not a person, actually. That they're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Right.
Scripture says principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. That's who our enemy is. And kids can understand that.
We could preach all this for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose
this is just loaded in our heart. I'm telling you.
We should. Yeah, we'll. we have one more scripture.
I gotta tell you something. Excuse me, may I speak?
Deuteronomy 6.
I'm sorry. I really am sorry. This is, you're living in the easiest time right now. It's only going to get worse. This is the easiest time right now to be a witness for Christ. It's getting worse. It's going to be hard. We have to put the word of God in our heart. You have to be born again, first of all, because you're outside and you belong to the devil. He owns you right now. Even though you think you can do what you want to do, he owns you. He's the God of this world. He is the God of this world. He's the God of this world system. Adam and Eve gave him that authority. Jesus Christ came back to this earth and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore you go and make disciples out of all nations. And lo, I'm with you always. You and I have power over the devil. The Bible declares he's under your feet. Do you understand? He's under your feet. So when you talk to him, you look down. And you remind him of his future. Not just that an angel's coming with a chain to throw him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But remind him what's going to happen after that 1,000 years. That he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. We are the most powerful people on this earth, and most of us don't even know it. And that's why we have to renew our mind to the Word of God. You're in a battle zone. You're in a war. Do you understand? You are in a war. And so am I. You wake up, you're in a war zone. It's just because you're on this earth. There's going to be a time where we are going to live in a place that there is no curse. There's no devil. No flesh to contend with. We don't even know what that's like, folks. But it's coming. It's coming. But we're on mission until it comes. And it's his timing. You and I are ready to make a stand.
You want to just, we're going to close out with a song?
I'm going to, I could see, we, this is so in us, we could go on for another 2 hours.
We're going to just, we'll close out singing this song, the last song that we sang in the worship set, because it really does fit what we need God to do in our life, is light a fire in us, light a fire in us to renew our minds, to live for him, to look at every day, you know, as a valuable opportunity to understand why I'm in the earth. To not be drawing back. These are not times to draw back. These are times to say, God, make the words in this song a prayer from your heart. Light a fire in me. Because he doesn't want to just change your life. He wants to change the people that are in the lost and dying world. There are people lost in sin, and they're going to be perishing in hell forever if they don't hear the truth. And so we are his hands and feet. So let's just stand up. We're going to sing this song, and then after that, we'll pray and dismiss.
I'm laying down my life. I'm giving up control. I'm never looking back. I surrender all. I'm living for your glory on the earth. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow, for all the world to know, I'm living for your glory on the earth. For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me, light a flame. sake of the world burn like a fire in me. This passion in my heart, this stirring in my soul, to see the nations bow.
To that cross willingly. to give you an opportunity to have your sins forgiven. He took the penalty that you deserve, that I deserve. He took it. He took it. He paid the price you could never have paid. And now, right now, Jesus himself is offering you to forgive your sin and create your spirit in the likeness of God. Refreshment, love, joy, peace. If you want to accept Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven and be welcomed into the kingdom and experience the love of God, simply raise your hand up high enough so that I can see it. And you know what? We'll say a prayer. Slide it up in your hand and then put it right back down. Anybody. Oh, praise God. He's calling you and I, whether you're saved or unsaved. He's calling you into a relationship, into a fellowship that's far beyond what you and I have ever experienced. And it's available for you. It's available for me. Father God, I'm asking you to stir the spirits of our hearts. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up in this fire that we sang about, this fire that we read about. Burn bright within us. Help each one of us do our part in expanding your kingdom today, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you all for coming to be a part of what God's doing here in Butler. We want to remind you that we have prayer partners over here to my right, to your left, that are here to pray for you for anything, whether it be whether you should have prayed that prayer of salvation or whether you just have another need in your life that you want somebody to agree with you. Take advantage of them over there. If this is your first time with us, we ask you to stop back in the back, greet our pastors, say hello. Thank you all for being here today. Shake one another's hands on the way out the door and tell them to have a good week. You're all dismissed.